The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
This is not Bob Siegel, but welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob's wife, Dana Siegel, and I have the privilege of hosting Bob's show tonight. I am very grateful that Bob donates time from his show once a year to promote a very special ministry called From Grief to Gladness. This is a ministry that helps women find healing from the devastation of experiencing abortion. If you've had an abortion or multiple abortions, I know from experience that this is a really difficult topic to listen to. I know you may be having a strong reaction in this very moment. You may feel angry at me for even talking about it. You may even have a physical reaction to what I am saying. That's exactly how I felt for many years whenever I heard the word abortion. It simply took me out. I will be sharing some of my story tonight, including how I found healing, how I got involved in this ministry, and how Bob played a significant role in helping me find God's forgiveness and healing after almost 30 years of silence about a choice I'd made as a young adult. If you are tempted to turn the show off now just because of the topic, please stay with me because you will find hope and reassurance by the end of the show. There is healing from pain and the devastation that abortion causes in our lives. I didn't think I could find healing at all after choosing abortion, but that was not true. It took me a long time, but I did finally find there is forgiveness and healing and restoration through God's love, mercy, and grace for me. Those of us who have chosen abortion survive it by not thinking about it, not talking about it, and not allowing ourselves to feel the pain of our choice. You are not alone, and what you are feeling right now is very real, but there are ways to get past that pain and the wounding. So again, it is my hope and prayer that this show encourages you and assures you of how much God loves you and your baby. You do not need to continue carrying your pain any longer. If you are a listener who has not experienced abortion, I ask you to stay with us as well, because it is very likely that you know several people who have chosen abortion. You just don't know who they are, because very few women or men ever talk about it. It is a choice that results in silence, and it has historically been an unspoken topic in our society. Additionally, we're not aware that we need to grieve this loss, nor does society really allow us to grieve something that we chose. The shame is so great that most post-abortion people suffer in silence, and that silence causes further harm. Psalm 32:3 says, "When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away." When we don't talk about our sins and the things that we chose that cause harm, they grow in us like a cancer. They can even make us physically sick. I thought I was handling my abortion past as long as I didn't talk about it or think about it. However, during that same time in my life, I developed a severe eating disorder and other self-harming behaviors. I didn't connect how those outcomes related to the choice of abortion until many years later. It wasn't until I met Bob in 2010, when he took me through the healing process, that I realized how much of my past was causing harm to my mind and my heart and my soul. I didn't even realize how much I was struggling with my past. Imagine almost 30 years of keeping the secret of abortion from everyone until I met Bob. I will share more details about my healing experience in a few minutes. There is some good news and bad news about the abortion statistics in the last few years. Good news first. The abortion rate has been steadily declining in our country over the last several years. In 1973, when Roe v. Wade made abortion legal in our country, there were approximately 616,000 legal abortions that year. In 1980, that more than doubled to 1,304,000 abortions, and they have remained over 1 million babies lost for several years after that. A Eventually, in 1997, there was a significant drop to 884,000 abortions, which is still so many children. In 2010, there were 730,000 abortions in our country, still going down. And in 2018, there were 620 abortions, which is half of what it was in 1980. And it is very close to the number of the first year when Roe versus Wade came in. It took almost 40 years for us to see the number of annual abortions be cut in half. So it is going down slowly, but we still have a long way to go. More good news is that our general population continues to become more and more pro-life minded. And finally, younger people are tending to be more pro-life than their parents. The bad news is there is still a lot of inconsistency in reporting the numbers of abortions, and not all states even report. California is one of the handful of states that does not report abortions to the CDC, and we're a large state. One independent source estimates that California accounts for 18% of the abortions in our country. However, they don't even show up in the total U.S. abortion statistics. More bad news, the CDC's annual numbers of abortions are significantly lower than most independent research institutions. There are many reasons to account for this, but tonight I'm not going to go into that detail. The most difficult piece of news is that we still have a large number of abortions each year in this country. Let's go back to what I said a little earlier, that you probably know several people who've had an abortion, but they are remaining silent. In 2018, only 45% of our country was known by either a close friend or a family member after they chose abortion. To be more precise, only 18% of the women who chose abortion told the family member. That's a pretty low number. And only 27% of the women who chose abortion 2 years ago told a close friend. More close friends know about a choice than family members. I think there's something wrong with that. So that means there are 55% of the women who have chosen abortion in this country 2 years ago that are carrying that burden alone, probably filled with deep regret and guilt, and they have no one to talk to. There is still so much secrecy, which is adding to the devastation of this choice. A woman feels like she can't share why she keeps crying, or feels sad and depressed, or she can't be happy when her best friend or cousin announces they're pregnant, or she starts down the road of addiction. It makes perfect sense when you finally process the pain and the shame of that choice. But while you're in it, it doesn't make sense at all. What causes further pain are the insensitive comments people make around the water cooler or in conversations, not realizing that they're talking about the person standing right next to them. And then that drives a woman farther into secrecy so that no one will ever understand. Many women who choose abortion feel they do not have a choice. Unable to see the options, they are panicking for several reasons. Bottom line, at least in my experience, I was not thinking clearly or able to process the solution that would keep a baby because I was afraid of what my parents and my church community would think about me. I so wish I could turn back the hands of time and make a different choice. When I was halfway through college, earning my bachelor's degree and a teaching credential, I found myself pregnant as a single woman. I worked with elementary children after school, caring for them. I was a youth group leader for our church's high school group, and I worked at a large Christian camp every summer during college. I was a role model, an upstanding citizen, a leader in the community, and in my church. At least that was when I had my Christian mask on. I absolutely could not see how my church would understand, let alone accept me, how a Christian camp could handle this situation. And most importantly, I did not believe my parents would be able to handle the situation as they were leaders in the church as well. I really did believe I had no choice. And so, incorrectly, I assumed if I quietly had an abortion, the unwanted pregnancy would be over and I would be able to continue my life as planned and no one would ever know. The abortion clinic even said it was a routine procedure and I could resume my normal life the next day. I would have an abortion one day, go back to my normal life the next day. My life was never normal again. The decision of abortion put into motion so much devastation in my life. Out of that devastation, God created an amazing retreat called From Grief to Gladness. It is a life-changing retreat for women who have experienced abortion, and it is coming in just a few weeks on April 16th through the 18th. We meet from Friday at dinner till Sunday at noon, and I will share more about the fascinating story of this retreat as we come back. We will return to the Bob Siegel Show after this break. Thank you. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel hosting tonight, and we are talking about abortion and the choice that can be more devastating than we were told when we went to the abortion clinics. When I chose abortion, the statistics showed that 1 out of 3 women has had an abortion in the United States. That is still a shocking number to me. That means 1 in every 3 women has experienced an abortion. A few years ago, it moved to 1 in 4, and we may be close to 1 in 5 women choosing abortion now. So the numbers are going in the right way, but that's still a lot of women carrying around this situation. It is much more common choice in this country than most people realize. But since nobody talks about it, because it's too difficult to talk about, and the woman is desperately trying to forget so she doesn't have to face the pain, it remains a secret. It is a secret that many women and men carry, and I'm sure you're beginning to understand now why I say that you probably know several people who've had an abortion. They just haven't revealed it to you. I would say the greatest myth about abortion is that it is a simple medical procedure. It is anything but simple. The truth about abortion is that it causes great devastation to the man or the woman, not to mention the loss of a child. People do often say it's a political issue, it's a woman's rights issue, it's a constitutional right, my body, my choice. But what most people don't know is that many women are profoundly hurt and changed by the choice to have an abortion. Many women feel like they had no choice. We need to get the real truth out about abortion and how much it really impacts a person. Jennifer O'Neill is a famous actress and cover girl, and she wrote a book in 2005 called You're Not Alone. In that book, she shares about her abortion experience and the aftermath from that decision. Here are some of the statistics that she has shared in her book. 85% of the women that said their decision to abort their baby had a great impact on their life. 78% report that their self-image has changed since the abortion. 85% struggle with guilt and self-condemnation over abortion. 67% thought their life would stay the same after abortion. 78% thought the emotional pain they felt over abortion would lessen over the years, but it has only gotten stronger. 73% of the women said that their abortion experience as a whole was the biggest mistake of their life. All those statements I just shared are true for me and my abortion experience. My self-image changed drastically. I felt great guilt and condemnation. I didn't even know how the idea of abortion was going to impact my life at all. I really did believe I would go back to my normal life the next day. And the pain of my decision did only increase over time. Abortion is definitely the biggest mistake in my life and my biggest regret. In our healing retreat and our Bible study, we have a great book that we use. It's called Healing the Hurt, and it's by Terry and Paul Reiser. It was published by Focus on the Family in 2010, and it just lists some of the signs of stress and some of the symptoms that women experience. And I'm just going to share this quickly with you so that you have some insight. Again, I'm hoping that even if you've never experienced abortion or you don't know of anyone, that you are listening, because this is information that helps you understand. For those that have had an abortion, I hope this is reassuring you that you're not alone and that what you're experiencing is very normal. And there are many signs of stress that develop after an abortion experience. They can develop immediately or they can take many years. They can exhibit themselves unexpectedly and without warning. The signs of stress can affect a woman in one or more of the following ways: physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Some of the significant signs of stress are guilt from violating your own sense of morality, self-destructive behaviors like eating disorders, substance abuse, promiscuity, abusive relationships, re-experiencing events related to the abortion, anxiety that leads to physical complaints, headaches, stomach aches, muscle tightness, and difficulty sleeping, numbing psychologically, depression, which may affect your mood, uncontrollable crying, poor self-concept, sleep and appetite disturbances, loss of normal pleasure, and possibly thoughts of suicide, preoccupation with becoming pregnant again, anxiety over fertility or barrenness, trouble bonding with other children or adults, anniversary reactions of your abortion. That is not a small list. It's not a light list. With many of the women I've worked with, they've experienced a number of those signs of stress. My story continues with an encounter almost 30 years later that led to my healing. I met Bob Siegel. Bob is a pastor, Christian apologist, radio talk show host, missionary, author of many great books, and a brilliant playwright. I met Bob at Skyline Church after he'd preached one Sunday. Eventually, we started dating, and I was going to just be friends with Bob forever because I had this secret, awful past that I could never reveal to him. I certainly couldn't be married to him as a pastor with my past. Pastors didn't marry women like me. We dated for several months, and I could see that Bob was getting more and more serious. So I came to the realization that I had to share my past. As I was driving to Bob's house that night, I truly believed I was going there to break up with him because he wasn't going to be able to accept my past and continue loving with me. And I believed he had the right to do that. I thought, I'll drive to his house as his girlfriend, and I'll drive home a single woman full of shame. It was an intense experience for me because all I could do was cry for a very long time before I could speak. After holding the pain in for close to 30 years, there was a lot of emotion that had been stuffed. Poor Bob just sat there waiting patiently while I cried tears of shame and sadness and fear and hopelessness. When I could finally speak, I confessed my past, and then I cried some more. Bob's reaction was nothing like what I anticipated. He was compassionate, he was kind, and he was tender. And his first comment was, I can see you've never had healing for your abortion. That was a completely confusing thought to me. I thought, he didn't even hear what I just said. There is no healing for abortion. I did not understand that God could forgive every sin, even abortion. I had to put abortion in another category that was unforgivable, mostly because my pain was so great, I didn't know how to let go of it. Bob started taking me through an inner healing process over the next few months that completely changed me. I was able to receive God's forgiveness in my mind and my heart. I could feel God's mercy and His grace pouring over me. And I began to feel the pain of choosing abortion so many years ago begin to dissipate. My night of confession turned into a journey of healing and restoration. I thank God for His amazing grace and His love for me. And I thank God that He brought a man like Bob into my life to show me the way. I drove home that night as Bob's girlfriend, and it was truly a miracle that I didn't think was possible. As we go to this next break, we're going to play a very special song that we sing on Friday night at the retreat, because all of us, the women that come to this retreat, bring our brokenness with us to that weekend. That's the whole point of it. And if we're honest and we can bring our brokenness, then we can help each other lay it down at the cross. Sometimes laying down burdens can be really hard, so that's why we do it together. I hope you enjoy this song, If We're Honest, by Francesca Battistelli.
Truth is harder than a lie. The dark seems safer than the light. And everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've built walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides and mercy's waiting on. If we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal. is waiting on the inside. If we're honest, if we're honest. It would change our lives. It would set us free. It's what we need to be. So bring your brokenness, and I'll bring.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, hosted by Bob's wife, Dana Siegel. That last segment, I did get a little more emotional because I continue to be overwhelmed by God's grace and how far he has brought me and just how grateful for what he has done for me. And I am happy to say I did not stay the perpetual friend with Bob that I thought I would be. After former years of friendship, healing, and learning how to trust, Bob and I did marry. In God's kingdom, when you confess your sins to him, he does forgive you and he remembers them no more. What a blessing to know that I am truly forgiven for my past choices. And God brought a kindly, godly man into my life to show me what was true love. I now know a pastor can marry even a woman like me. And truth be told, I'm really not that woman anymore. Because God has renewed me with his righteousness, and now I walk free from the labels I put on myself for so many years. Do you want to get rid of your labels? I hope this message is touching your heart and you will consider coming to the retreat so I can show you how God can forgive you, help you heal, and restore you to the fullness that he has intended for you. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. From Grief to Gladness is a weekend retreat that is coming April 16th through the 18th. It is a powerful weekend for women who have experienced abortion and want to receive God's forgiveness and feel the power of being healed and restored from that choice. The retreat is held in a beautiful setting in Pine Valley that is welcoming and confidential. The women who attend this retreat always report that the weekend was not only healing and powerful, but they wish they had done it sooner. By the end of the weekend, women have learned how much God loves them, and he has been waiting for them to heal and restore them and bring them into his righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. We also explain that there is nothing they can do to atone for the sin of abortion. We must simply receive God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who took all of our sins, including abortion, with him to the cross. We see how going through the healing process has changed women's lives, their relationships with God and others, their self-esteem, their joy, and so much more. Here is a letter from one of our women that wrote after the retreat, and I think she expresses well what she experienced. Dear leadership team, I am still reeling after learning this weekend just how crippling and all-consuming the consequence of abortion has been in my life. To acknowledge that my Christian walk had been grossly undermined, limited, and even derailed completely for years breaks my heart. The magnitude of my denial over what had happened had been so pervasive. I don't believe that without this ministry, I could have heard God's urgent call to honesty and the resulting healing that came. Thank you does not seem adequate in light of the great compassion you all showed to me in so many different ways. You collectively ushered me to the very foot of the cross. God had been waiting for me with outstretched arms to accept me and to console me. I could never have imagined that. I will continue to pray for this critical ministry as it grows to touch countless more daughters of the King who are unaware of the bondage of their buried grief. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you for all that you did for me and the retreat, and my life has been changed forever because I have been set free. I have been restored at last. I have truly been given beauty for ashes. Gratefully yours, our sister. That's just one woman's expression of what she experienced being at the retreat. And I am just so grateful that she shared that letter with us and that she expressed her feelings about what was happening in her life. I did want to share a little more of my story. As I earlier shared, Bob took me through a healing process that had several components. One of the last things I did was write letters to my babies, which took several days to accomplish. I also had experienced miscarriage after my first daughter was born, and so it was important to go through a grieving process for any loss, especially a significant loss like abortion or miscarriage. My plan was to go to the beach alone one Sunday after church with my letters and read them to God and to my babies to seal my healing. The beach had always been a very soothing, God-filled place, restoring me, and I thought it would be a perfect setting for me to read my letters to God. Well, that Sunday, I had scheduled to go to the beach. It was torrential rains all morning. We could even hear the pounding on the roof of the auditorium during church service. It was so loud. It was the kind of rain that when you stepped out in it, you'd be drenched in a minute. I leaned over to Bob and said, I'm going to go to Mount Helix instead of the beach. I didn't think it would be safe to drive the 15, 20 minutes to the beach in this crazy downpour. Mount Helix was only about 3 miles, and it would be a much safer drive in this weather. So I drove up to the top of Mount Helix, which has a 360-degree view of San Diego, and all of San Diego can look up to the top of Mount Helix and see the huge white cross that stands alone at the top. No one else was there that day, and I think I was a little crazy for being there myself, but I did have an appointment with the Lord. I took beach towels and a golf umbrella from my car, and I hiked up to the top of the hill. I sat on a rock wall about 15 feet from the foot of the cross. I wrapped in towels and had the blanket over me, and I read my letters out loud. As I sat there alone with God, it was as if he was washing me symbolically with the rain. I felt the pain, the shame, and the guilt, and the sadness of my choice flowing away with the water running down the hill. I believe God arranged that unprecedented torrential rain just for me. That pummeling rain drove me to the foot of the cross to remind me that Jesus willingly did for me on the cross, which also covered my choice of abortion. God symbolically washed me and cleansed me from a destructive past. As I sat there in the downpour, I felt the great weight of pain and shame that I had carried for years being lifted up and taken away. It really literally felt as if heavy chains were being taken off of me. What an experience. God had a much better plan for sealing my healing journey than I did. That was a magnificent opportunity that he took me to. It is really important that you go through stages of grieving for this loss. It's important you don't just keep pushing it down and try to forget it. It won't be forgotten, and the pain of abortion will eventually demand a response from you. In our Bible study, Forgiven and Set Free, we process the stages of grief, denial, anger, depression, and acceptance as it relates to our experiences. We also spend a lot of time discussing God's character, his forgiveness, his grace, and his healing. I will share more with you about a letter from a woman that completed our last Bible study after we have gone to break. Stay with us, and we will be right back.
This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church. Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Dana Siegel, and I am continuing to share about a helpful, supportive opportunity that women can experience to help them with their past. And it is a 10-week Bible study. It's called Forgiven and Set Free. My dear friend Stephanie is the main teacher for this Bible study, and she is just a gifted teacher. Between the retreats and the Bible studies, we have worked with more than 100 women. Each of these women has an amazing story of healing and restoration, and I just feel so honored that God allows me to know women's stories, their deepest secrets, and to watch them be able to release those things to move forward in much more fullness in their lives. It is incredible to watch women who have carried this tremendous guilt and shame of their past just walk free from it. They often go from being really closed down emotionally to being vibrant, happy women. It really is like we get to watch them transform in front of us. I have a letter from the woman that just completed our last Bible study, and she has given me permission to share her words. I believe this will really touch you. And again, if you are someone who has experienced abortion, listen to what she got out of it and consider joining us in our next Bible study. It says, "Dear Stephanie," that's my co-teacher, "and co-leaders, I am hoping that you can forward this email message to all of your leadership team. I have searched and searched for the right words to express the depths of my gratitude for all of you, and I can't actually find the right words, but only an abundant amount of love and appreciation that I feel in my heart when I think about you ladies. This group has already brought me more clarity and peace around life choices than I ever thought possible. It's amazing to me how much I compartmentalized and buried my attempt to create life that I believe God wants for me to find my purpose, all the while carrying this enormous shame, fear, and guilt. Last night was also a reminder of how blessed I am that God sent me an angel, my husband, when I needed him most. I have been praying that God will work a miracle in my marriage and make me more affectionate wife, and I know he is doing just that. After walking through just the tip of the iceberg, that I shared with you last night, I am reminded of what has kept me guarded for so many years, but no longer serves me. The fact that I have found a group of the most graceful, loving, kind, supportive, Christ-inspired, empathetic ladies to walk with me through this journey leaves me so humbled and grateful. You are not only helping me to heal, just sharing my testimony released 1,000 pounds off of my chest, but you are also giving me the sense of belonging at our church, and I thank you from the absolute bottom of my heart. With love, your sister in Christ. And that was a really special thing because this woman shared later that she didn't feel like she belonged in the church or had friends there until she did this Bible study. And then she felt like she had a home. And she'd been attending the church for a long time. But again, that's what we do to ourselves is we tell ourselves that we can't be connected. We don't have a right to that because of our choices of the past. As women who have had an abortion past, we believe that the sin is the greatest sin of all. And so we carry so much guilt and condemnation. I truly did believe that I could never be forgiven for it because I thought it meant that I wouldn't have cared about my unborn child. However, Romans 3:23 states, "There is no difference, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Jesus didn't die for just some sins. He died for all of our sins. And beyond that, our babies are safe in heaven with our Heavenly Father. They have been taken care of by the King of Kings since they left us from this earth. So be encouraged. We will see our children again in heaven. The retreat is called From Grief to Gladness. It is the weekend of April 16th through the 18th, and it's coming in just under 4 weeks. Again, the retreat is held at the Pine Valley Bible Conference Center, which is about a 25-minute drive from El Cajon to the beautiful setting amongst the trees. The cost for the entire weekend is only $95, which includes 5 meals. It goes from Friday at dinner to Sunday at noon, and your housing is included, all the retreat materials and gifts. It's a great deal. But if that is even too much for you, we do have financial scholarships available. We have already had several generous donors this year give us scholarships. So if money is a problem for you, please let me know so that I can help you and activate one of these scholarships. Lack of money should not be the reason a woman doesn't attend the retreat. You will find more information available on Bob's website tomorrow about how you can contact me, or you can go to the Skyline website at skylinechurch.org, go to upcoming events, and look for Forgiven and Set Free tab, and you can email me there. Just to remind our listeners, Bob's website is Bob Siegel, all one word, siegel.net. So either reaching Bob on his website or Skyline Church, just give a call and they will connect you with me. I surely hope you will have the courage to do that. I hope we have several women who are listening join us for this year's retreat. Please share this radio show with someone you know that is still hurting over an abortion choice. And if you think that it is something that you want to do, please call me and let me know quickly. Or if you just want to ask questions, sometimes women just need to talk about it first to make a final choice. We started doing these special radio shows about 7 years ago when the first From Grief to Gladness retreat was scheduled. This year, in the next month, we will have our 6th annual retreat. Our weekend theme is all about how God will take our brokenness, our failures, our past choices, even our abortions, and he trades it in for his beauty, his love, his healing, and his restoration. We call that his divine exchange. It still amazes me. I'm still not used to it. It's such an amazing thing that he takes what we fail at and gives us something beautiful in exchange. Only our God could do that. Our weekend theme verse is Isaiah 61:3. It is so beautiful. It goes like this: "To grant those who mourn, giving them a garland or crown instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle or a scarf of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so that they will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And just in case you missed that, It says God takes our ashes, our mourning, our sadness, our spirit of fainting, and he trades them in for a crown, an oil of gladness, and a praising spirit. It doesn't get any better than that. And when he's given us that exchange, then he is glorified. Amazing. There are 8 amazing women who lead and serve in this ministry. We call them serving women. It is such an honor to know them and work alongside them as we support others through this difficult process of healing. Each one of our serving women have had one or more abortions, and so they are able to completely relate to the range of emotions, regret, condemnation, any other emotion a woman will feel after experiencing abortion. They will also be a great example to you of God's healing power. He has brought us all so far. Let's close with this. If God is prompting your heart right now, or there's even a little bit of wishing that you could feel relief and healing that I've been describing through this show, do not ignore that feeling. If you've been listening to the show and you know that you have never processed your abortion past, please take a leap of faith, ask God for the courage to attend, and connect with me. I want to know you. I want to walk alongside you as we seek God's healing and be able to celebrate with you the victories that he is going to give you. You and I will go through this journey together. You are my new friend that I am waiting to meet. Again, you can reach me at bobsiegel.net or through Skyline Church. Please don't hesitate. Just do it. And I promise that you will not regret it. No woman that we have ever worked with has ever regretted it. Again, they all wish they had found this sooner. I want to say thank you to Bob, my dear kind husband, who has helped me find God's forgiveness and healing. Thank you so much for the time on air that you donate to this ministry. Thank you very much, sweetheart. I appreciate that. And thank you everyone for listening. Bob Siegel will be back in studio next week, and he will be on the air. Thank you. Have a great week.